Hi everyone, welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. You know by now that the mission in my work is to empower people to make informed food choices, to debunk myths about veganism, to be a voice for animals, and to give people the tools and resources they need to live according to their own values of compassion and kindness. As we enter the 13th year of Food for Thought podcast, which is an award-winning podcast, thanks to you, it won Veg News Magazine's awards again this year for best podcast. I thought it merited a rebroadcasting of some favorite episodes and some episodes that just merit re-listening. So you can always subscribe to Food for Thought. Please do so at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also subscribe to Animology, the spinoff podcast of Food for Thought. And of course, you can follow me on social media. And because of you, this podcast is going on 13 years later. So I appreciate your support, the support of everyone who's a Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGoudreau and help it go on for yet another year. And just keep in mind that inevitably, after all these years, some websites I may mention on the podcast episodes may be defunct. Certainly, I am not Compassionate Cooks anymore. You can just find my work at ColleenPatrickGoudreau.com or JoyfulVegan.com. Just keep in mind that while some websites may be dated, the information itself is not. And so I give you this podcast episode of the award-winning Food for Thought podcast. Enjoy. Today's episode is The Vegan Police, speaking up for animals without talking down to people. In this podcast and elsewhere, I talk a lot about speaking our truth and planting seeds and vegangelizing and knowing where we end and another person begins and speaking up for the animals and the impossibility of being a perfect vegan. And recently I addressed the idea of being 100% vegan in a vegan POV, vegan point of view video episode, which you can find at joyfulvegan.com. But I felt compelled to talk more about this and specifically about the vegan police, an expression that so many people are aware of. I don't even think I need to define it. I'm hearing about the vegan police so much more, and I'm asked about it a lot, how I deal with it and what to do with people who say this and that. And I'm seeing a lot of negative effects because of it. Now, for the longest time for me, the idea of the vegan police was just that. It was just an idea. It was just a concept because I'd heard about it, but I never really paid much attention to it, mainly because A, I'd never really been a victim of it. I'd never been a victim of someone policing me, if you will. B, I understand where people are coming from, so I know what the intention is behind people who are so intense and feel they need to be the vegan police. So I just felt like their intentions were good, but the execution's not necessarily good. And I'll come back to this, but I just kind of knew like where they were coming from. So I thought, okay, well, there's no real harm. And C, nobody in my life, not one vegan I'm friends with, and I'm friends with many, many vegans, is that kind of vegan. So it just didn't play a role in my life. Now, I'm obviously aware of how judgmental and judgy, as we say, people can be. We're all guilty of being judgmental. I am. And nothing tastes sweeter than self-righteousness, especially when it exists in the name of justice. But self-righteousness and arrogance and meanness are ugly regardless of what inspires them. And of course, I've been keenly aware of this thing, this vegan policing and the existence of the perfectionist vegan for as long as I've been vegan, probably since before I was vegan. But I've seen it so much more on social media. I've seen so much more invective on social media, possibly because I'm paying more attention to social media these days. I'm hearing about it mostly from my audience because I don't go into these territories that's filled with invective and self-righteousness and piety and name-calling. I just have no desire to go into that toxic area. But I'm hearing a lot about it because my audience comes to me and tells me what they hear. And frankly, forgive my naivete, but I find it shocking. I'm shocked at the things people say and how they say them. I'm shocked at how people talk to one another. I know that sounds so naive because it's all around, and especially we all know what happens online, and it's a medium that's really just rife for this kind of anonymous invective is the word I keep using. And so I know that that's part of what's happening out there outside of veganism, obviously, and animal advocacy, but these comments are filled with so much scorn and so much unkindness that I have to believe that the people writing all of this aren't aware of how toxic it is for everyone, including for the animals. And as I see it, this toxic self-righteousness is coming from two groups. Now, this is a broad generalization, but kind of two groups, right? One is a few. This is just, I want to emphasize that this is not the majority by any stretch of the imagination. There are a few well-intentioned ethical vegans who are concerned that veganism as an ethical way of living is watered down by the media and celebrities who position veganism as a temporary trendy diet. And these same well-intentioned ethical vegans who position veganism as the end rather than the means. The second category, again, small group, but some well-intentioned health-oriented plant-based eaters who excoriate the consumption of oil and sugar and flour and wheat and gluten and soy, or maybe not all of those in one excoriation, but there is that category of people who just kind of decided that for different reasons, some of which may be valid, that these things should not be consumed and thus have a lot of strong things to say about those of us, or vegans or not, who eat these things. Now, I bring up both these groups because I see policing on both sides and I see judgment on both sides. It's really more than policing. It's playing judge and jury and executioner the way that people talk online in these two groups. And so today I'm only going to talk about the first category. I'm going to save the second category for an upcoming episode. So in that first category, the well-intentioned ethical vegans who are concerned about ethical veganism being watered down, these folks attack vegetarians who are not yet vegan. I see them attack people who identify as vegan but who cheat, right? So who either don't stay vegan, I guess, or who cheat, I suppose. They attack people who may identify as vegan but who have stopped eating animals and animal products for health reasons. So their feeling is that if these people aren't doing it for the animals, they shouldn't call themselves vegan. And then they attack the people who don't identify as vegan but who have stopped eating animals and animal products for health reasons and thus call themselves plant-based. And they attack them for that. The feeling is that if they're just plant-based, then it's not about the animals and they're still contributing to animal exploitation in some way. Then they attack non-vegans, who have vegan companies or who sell vegan products. I think this attack is mostly seen against celebrity non-vegans who have vegan companies and sell vegan products. I say this because this has come out recently. Obviously, there's some celebrities that I'm talking about in particular. Now, I want to just preface this by saying I am not the person who publicizes when a celebrity declares that they're vegan. And, you know, and then all of a sudden they're not vegan and, oh no, we used them as some kind of representative of veganism and now they're not vegan anymore. I don't do that. So I'm not talking about this glorifying of celebrities who go vegan. They're people like we are and they just happen to be in the public eye. So I'm not talking about that, but there is this judgment and this scorn against certain celebrity non-vegans who may be promoting vegan products or have a vegan company. Whatever. Beyonce is one of them. I guess recently she announced this new line of vegan products and vegan food delivery service company, this kind of food plan that she's partnered with 22 Days Nutrition because that's her trainer. And so I could not believe what people were saying when they saw this. And it's just really interesting to me because most of us live in the real world where we buy vegan products from non-vegan grocery stores, right? All the time. I buy produce harvested by non-vegan farmers and I eat in vegan restaurants owned by non-vegans and I eat in non-vegan restaurants owned by non-vegans, but I eat vegan food. But somehow when it's a celebrity, I think because they're just in the public eye and they're so afraid they're going to be the representative of veganism, there's just this crazy amount of judgment. And I just think it's interesting. So there's that judgment too. And I recently did a video with Whitney from Eco Vegan Gal and Michelle from Vegan Break, who's now venturing into World of Vegan. So check out worldofvegan.com. And we discussed this. And I think we all had some insight. I think everybody has insight into this. And you can check it out at my YouTube channel. So those are some of the things that we see when we see this kind of lashing out. And yet it's not just non-vegans who are the targets of their scorn. It's also vegans, vegans who are pregnant or vegans who have children, vegans who have companion animals, vegans who are religious, vegans who celebrate Christmas, vegans who celebrate Valentine's Day, vegans who aren't level 5 vegans, right? From the Simpsons episode, that episode called Lisa the Tree Hugger, in which Lisa meets animal environmental rights activist Jesse, and she's in love and she is in total awe of him. And she says, "Oh, the earth is the best. That's why I'm vegetarian." And he says, "Huh, well, that's a start." And she said, "Oh, well, I was thinking of going vegan." And he says, "Yeah, well, I'm a level 5 vegan. I won't eat anything that casts a shadow." Remember that? It's so funny because it's so true. And so this is the kind of judgment against those people who aren't level 5 vegans. So now, don't get me wrong. I love people who have opinions. I am one of them. I love people who stand up for what they believe in. I am one of them. I love people who speak up for animals and act on their behalf. I am one of those people. But we can do all of that without being mean. I feel like I'm constantly talking about walking the line between this and that, walking the line between speaking up for what we believe in and not being attached to the outcome, walking the line between asking for what we want without being demanding, walking the line between expressing our opinion without attacking other people. We can do both. We can. It takes practice and it takes more time, because it actually takes more time to be thoughtful, but it can be done. I think we humans, and especially opinionated or justice-oriented humans, aren't good at living in the gray areas of life, right? Or at least the areas we feel are places of contradiction. So for instance, I think what happens for so many animal rights activists and ethical vegans is that we feel so acutely aware of how much animals are suffering at our hands that if we don't demonstrate outrage about this all the time, then we're not being true to them. We're not being good advocates. I think we think that if we're not in a constant state of anger about how the animals are treated, we're letting the animals down. We feel that if we don't speak up for the animals, we're letting them down. But speaking up for the non-human animals need not mean speaking down to the human animals, right? I will repeat that. Speaking up for the non-human animals doesn't mean we have to speak down to the human animals. We can do both. We can speak up for the non-human animals and speak with respect to the human animals as well. We can do both of these things. And I will tell you how in just a moment. So how can we speak up for the non-human animals without talking down to the human animals? How can we do both? I want to make it clear that I understand the urgency. I understand the desperation. I understand the outrage. I understand the anger. That's why I talk about it in my 10 stages you go through when you stop eating animals. It's not that we shouldn't be outraged. It's not that we shouldn't be angry. It's not that we shouldn't be motivated by this. But I think some folks lose the plot. Or maybe they haven't lost the plot, actually. Maybe they haven't. I just realized that maybe the problem is that they see nothing but the plot. But that's a problem too. When you see only one thing through one lens, you become incredibly myopic, right? Animals are victims of horrific violence at our hands for the sake of our pleasure and convenience. That's true. That's real. But that's not all that's real. That's not all that's true. As human beings, we don't live in a vacuum. We're complex people in a complex world with many, many inputs determining who we become and what we do and what we believe and what we buy and who we eat. Forces are in play every day, conditioning us and reinforcing belief systems and influencing our decisions and affecting our relationships. It's neither realistic nor fair to expect everyone to see through the same lens we do at the moment we expect them to. As advocates, we want to speak up. That's the point. We need to speak up and help guide people toward embracing their empathy and compassion for animals, so that they can stop contributing to this violence. And in fact, the word advocate is built from the word vocare, which means to call, which is related to the word vox, which means voice. As advocates, we must use our voice in order to be voices for the animals. But we have to be mindful of how we use our voice so that we're not only being compassionate, but we're also being effective. Now, let me repeat that. We must speak up, but we don't have to be jerks. And there I go again, suggesting that we walk this line. We can do both. And I emphasize the word effective. Some people say, well, I don't want to be compassionate to people who aren't compassionate. Well, that's not true compassion. That's another conversation. So I emphasize the word effective because I will tell you that if you think people are attracted to venom and invective, I will just tell you that I disagree. People join groups and befriend people they're attracted to. And I guarantee you that very few people are attracted to self-righteousness, especially when something is new to them and they're already feeling vulnerable and they're exploring unfamiliar territory. And when the attack comes publicly, that's even worse because nobody likes being humiliated. That should just go without saying. Nobody likes being humiliated. Now, I'm not saying that everyone has to agree or have the same viewpoints. There is room for conversation and dialogue and disagreement. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that in disagreeing or having conviction or having opinions, we can't do it in a way that's constructive rather than destructive. Of course, you can say that in the end, the person who happens upon a negative comment and chooses not to be vegan, it really is because they're blocked and they're just using it as an excuse to not change their behavior. You can say that, but I don't think it's as simple as that. I believe very much that we're ultimately responsible for our own actions. I absolutely believe that. But we're also social creatures and we're psychological creatures. And some things just really aren't that simple. Some things really are a turnoff for people. And if you don't know that you have an effect on people for better or for worse, then you're just lying to yourself. You're lying because if you're any kind of activist, you're acting to affect someone else's behavior. So you're at least aware that there's a relationship taking place, that there's a cause and effect. And what I'm saying is that mean and nasty and self-righteous posts mostly have the effect of turning people away. Now, in the end, my little podcast episode isn't going to change much. In the end, I can't control how other people represent veganism and animal advocacy. And that's part of the point. We can be advocates for this way of living, but we can't control how people, how the media, how celebrities, how the public will use or misuse the word or misrepresent what vegan is. We can't control the message of the entire media. We can't control the message of the entire animal rights movement or vegan movement because there is no single voice. My voice is singular. It's my own and I use it. Your voice is singular. It's your own. How I represent myself as a vegan and animal activist is all I can control. And in being able to control that, I'm going to be the best, the most steadfast, the most compassionate, the most effective voice for animals I can be, but I'm not going to be an a-hole. Vegan isn't a trademark any of us own. It's a means for achieving the goal of living in a way that doesn't contribute to violence against animals. We can help clarify what vegan means because it does mean something, but we don't get a vegan certification when we become vegan. We don't get to trademark that this is what vegan looks like. Being vegan is not about being perfect. It's not about being pure. And I think this expectation is what stops many people from being vegan or even trying it. And their fear is justified when they proudly declare to someone in a message board or to someone in person that they've become vegan. And they're met with smug responses from non-vegans, right? Well, the shoes you're wearing are made of leather, right? Or, you know, you drive a car. We're all aware of that. But what about from the vegans? Well, the machines on which the peanut butter you're buying is made was also used to make non-vegan food products. So that's not really vegan. Oh yeah, that's going to go a long way in making them think they can do something to reduce violence against animals, right? Because it isn't to say that in this imperfect world, I don't accidentally contribute to the suffering of human and non-human animals, but that doesn't make me less vegan. It just makes me human, an imperfect human in an imperfect world using this thing called vegan, which has imperfection built into it, as a pretty fantastic way to reflect my values of compassion and wellness. And that's the message I want to convey when people are trying to do the right thing. I want them to know that there's so much they can do in their own lives to not contribute to violence against animals. and that they too are imperfect humans in this imperfect world that's all built into being vegan. And it's the best we've got to create the compassionate world we all envision. Thank you again, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you to the listener sponsors and to all of you listeners. Go to iTunes and leave a rating and review. And don't forget to get your copy of the 30-Day Vegan Challenge. We're talking about $20 as the most comprehensive resource for living joyfully and compassionately. Share it with everyone you know. Leave a review on Amazon.com and go out and share today's tweetable. Being vegan is an effective and powerful way to say no to violence against animals. Thank you to the American Anti-Vivisection Society for the amazing work they do for animals and for their support of this podcast. Please visit aavs.org. I hear from so many of you who want to be part of the solution. Go to aavs.org/meat and ask your legislators to include farmed animals under the Animal Welfare Act. Don't forget to subscribe to the Food for Thought feed and for the animals. This is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau. Thanks for listening.